Breaking news tonight, and it's a stunner from Facebook. Billions of people may have had their personal information grabbed. Zuckerberg doing damage control tonight, how to find out if you were affected. The missed warnings about the woman who opened fire at YouTube.
The parents warn police, be careful. Maybe she's angry at YouTube.
Why police questioned her before the shooting, then let her go. Late word from the White House, President Trump ordering the National Guard to the border immediately. What happens when they get there? The price you pay could be going up for everything from a new car to what you're buying for dinner. How an escalating trade war with China could hit your wallet hard. And the powerful day of remembrance here at the Lorraine Motel in Memphis. 50 years since the loss of MLK. Proof here today that his movement and his message lives on.
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening. 50 years ago tonight, tragedy put Memphis at the crossroads of American civil rights history. And this evening, attention turns to the motel, now museum, behind me, and the ceremony taking place. The place that Martin Luther King Jr. was felled by an assassin's bullet on this night in 1968. We'll hear from someone who stood on that motel balcony with King on that fateful night. But our top story this evening is Facebook, making several major headlines. Its embattled CEO Mark Zuckerberg agreeing to testify before Congress, as we also learned today that the siphoning of Facebook user data by Cambridge Analytica was far bigger than first announced. Our Miguel Almaguer has the latest.
Tonight, Facebook says the personal data of up to 87 million people, mostly in the U.S., was improperly shared with Cambridge Analytica, tens of millions more than previously thought. The privacy scandal connected to the 2016 election, a breach of trust. The fallout forcing Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg to now testify before Congress next week for the first time. Today, he spoke to reporters by phone.
It's not enough to just give people a voice. We have to make sure that people are not using that voice to hurt people or to spread disinformation.
Zuckerberg taking full responsibility, saying he's the best person to run his company, trying to reassure users and the company's shareholders.
We didn't take a broad enough view of what our responsibility is, and that was a huge mistake. It was my mistake.
Facebook also announcing new security features to protect its 2 billion users, saying nearly all have had basic information taken.
The fact that someone could come along, look at your public Facebook page, and take that data down and you know, use it in other ways is not at all surprising to me.
With some leaving Facebook, the company is losing value, down $87 billion. Tonight, Facebook accused of sharing too much. All eyes now on the quiet CEO as Zuckerberg goes to Washington.
Tonight, Cambridge Analytica says it only accessed the information of 30 million individuals, not 87 million. As for Facebook, the social media giant says starting Monday, it'll notify its users if their personal information may have been compromised. Lester?
All right, Miguel Almaguer tonight, thank you. Now to another big story we're following. New details about the woman who went on a shooting rampage at YouTube's headquarters. Investigators now say she was a YouTube user who harbored a grudge against the company. And tonight, new questions about possible missed warnings, with police revealing they encountered the shooter just hours before the attack after an alert from her family. NBC's Stephanie Goss now with the latest.
Stop getting this.
Nassim Agdam used YouTube itself to rail against the company.
I'm being discriminated and filtered on YouTube.
Today, law enforcement confirmed that anger drove the 38-year-old to unleash a hail of bullets at YouTube's headquarters. So far, investigators say there's no evidence Agdam knew her victims.
It is believed that the suspect was upset with policies and practices of YouTube.
Agdam attacked YouTube employees outside eating lunch, repeatedly firing a semi-automatic Smith & Wesson handgun registered in her name.
We hear a couple pops. I thought it was like a nail gun or something.
Three people were shot before the shooter took her own life. Police say Agdam was at a gun range just hours before, practicing.
The evidence at the scene suggests that she was not super proficient.
Ogden was a prolific social media user and animal rights activist. This is a 2009 photo protesting the use of pigs during military exercises. She lived with her family in San Diego, earning money in part from four separate, often offbeat YouTube channels. Her father confirmed to NBC News that recent changes in YouTube's policy stopped everything. And now she has no income.
My World Cup video gets age restricted.
According to police, her family filed a missing persons report on Monday.
The parents warned police, be careful. Maybe she's angry at YouTube because she has this anger for 1 year.
Ogden drove north to Mountain View, 30 miles south of YouTube's offices, where her license plate was spotted. The police department says they found Ogden here, asleep in her car nearly 2 in the morning. Officers described her as being calm and cooperative. She said she was in the area looking for a job. Not once did she mention YouTube. The Mountain View police called the family. Her father said she may be heading to YouTube, but police did not notify the company.
There was nothing in those conversations that the officer felt rose to a level in which there was any specific concern or threat to YouTube.
But today, Ogden's brother, who does not want to be recognized, says the family was worried.
They pulled the car and they promised me they're going to watch her. And when that happened,
here at YouTube, employees were back at work today. While two of the three injured victims were released from the hospital, the third was upgraded from critical to serious condition. Lester?
Stephanie Gosk in San Bruno tonight. Thank you. Now to that late word from the White House, President Trump ordering the National Guard to the border with Mexico immediately. The announcement coming with plenty of unanswered questions, among them, what happens when they get there? We get more from NBC's Peter Alexander.
Tonight for President Trump, a border surge.
It's time to act.
To combat what he calls an unchecked flow of illegal immigrants, the president directing the Pentagon and Department of Homeland Security to work with border state governors to deploy National Guard troops.
We do hope that the deployment begins immediately. We're working with all haste.
Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen announcing some troops could arrive as early as tonight, but offering no details about how many or where they'd go.
We hope to have the path forward very much specified in the near future.
A plan being written in real time, hours after the president vowed he'll take strong action, and following days of Mr. Trump venting frustration, responding to reports of a caravan of migrants that has since been dispersed.
Until we can have a wall and proper security, we're going to be guarding our border with the military. That's a big step.
Past presidents have done the same. Obama dispatched 1,200 National Guard members. George W. Bush, 6,000. Troops that by law are barred from making arrests, expected to work in a support role. The administration tonight also touting initial progress, delivering on the president's signature campaign promise.
We have started building, as you know, so we're building real-time in Clexia.
How much new wall have we built at this point?
So to us, it's all new wall. If there is a wall before that needs to be replaced, it's being replaced by a new wall. So this is the Trump border wall.
Peter Alexander, NBC News, the White House.
China is firing back in a potentially escalating trade war with the White House, and caught in the middle could be a lot of American businesses and consumers, meaning you could end up paying more for many of the things you buy. NBC's Tom Costello explains.
In Evansville, Indiana, Joe Steinkamp's soybeans and corn have got a target on them. Now included in a list of American products China plans to hit with tariffs. With a third of his soybeans sold to China, he could lose $120,000 this year.
We're less money for church and less money to send the kids to college and less money that to save and reinvest in our farm.
China has singled out 106 American products for 25% higher tariffs, including soybeans and corn, beef, whiskey, tobacco, cars, trucks, SUVs, and planes. The move coming just hours after the Trump administration imposed another round of tariffs on Chinese products for stealing intellectual property, including aircraft and car parts, TVs, electronics, steel, and much more, potentially making products Americans enjoy much more expensive. Mr. Trump tweeting, "We are not in a trade war with China. That war was lost many years ago by the foolish or incompetent people who represented the U.S. But his economic advisor suggested today it could be a negotiating tactic.
You know, there are carrots and sticks in life, but
he is ultimately a free trader.
It may be bluster, but Americans are already hurting. At Look Trailers in Indiana, Matt Arnold must now pay 25% more for steel.
I think the abruptness and the nature of the way this is happening seems heavy-handed. And downstream, we're small businesses.
Tonight, several Republican lawmakers from farm states are criticizing the White House. Meanwhile, the U.S. tariffs on Chinese goods are not expected to go into effect for 6 months, giving both sides time to find a negotiated settlement. Lester?
All right, Tom Costello, thank you. And now back to the commemoration and celebration, as you can hear around me, taking place in Memphis at the Lorraine Motel, now part of the National Civil Rights Museum. Bells just tolled here and around the country. At the time, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated on the motel balcony on this day in 1968, as people from far and wide, including many who were with King to the end, gather in Memphis to celebrate his life and journey as a champion of justice. Martin Luther King Jr. was killed tonight in Memphis, Tennessee. A single gunshot silenced the voice and soul of a movement. And for Andrew Young, also the voice of a friend and partner.
I'd known him for over 10 years, and our wives grew up together in the same little country town.
We will have a nonviolent demonstration here in Memphis.
King was in Memphis to support striking sanitation workers. But on this evening, 50 years ago, the mood inside the Lorraine Motel was more playful than serious.
They were having a good time, and they were telling old tales, and it was like a college fraternity party with no alcohol.
But then, outside in the balcony, the moment that changed everything, captured in this indelible image, Young, visible on the balcony, pointing to where the shots were fired, Martin Luther King Jr. lifeless at his feet.
I heard what I thought was had to be an automobile backfiring. So somebody throwing firecrackers. But the last thing I thought of was a gun. When I looked up, I saw his shoes still stuck in the grate. And whatever, the bullet had knocked him out of his shoes.
The greatness of America is the right to protest far right.
Just the night before, King had delivered his soaring and prophetic sermon about the promised land.
I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land.
Now, a half century later, remembered today in Memphis for the movement he ignited.
It's just important for him to witness, you know, for him to understand that people fought for him to be able to go to school, get an education.
Across the country, demonstrations of purpose and peaceful unity, a legacy challenging today's divisions much the way King did 50 years ago.
I feel his spirit. The important thing is to carry on his work.
A spirit that drove six young men marching 50 miles from Mississippi to Memphis to honor their hero.
We started doing this journey to basically commemorate Dr. Martin Luther King and what he showed for us, the dream that he had for us, and we want to continue that journey.
Finally arriving at the Lorraine Motel where King died, but where the movement he led and his dream survives. And remarkable to look across this crowd tonight and see the rainbow of people and the number of young people who have gathered to celebrate King's legacy. We'll have more from here in just a moment. We'll take a turn now to a pair of U.S. military training missions that ended in disaster in Nevada today. An F-16 fighter jet assigned to Nellis Air Force Base crashed on a test and training range. The condition of the pilot is unknown. And in Southern California, four U.S. Marines were killed yesterday when their chopper crashed near the U.S.-Mexico border. The causes of both crashes are under investigation. The U.S. will keep troops in Syria in the fight against ISIS, at least for now, according to U.S. officials. But President Trump, who expressed his desire to withdraw from Syria just a day ago, is at odds with his military advisors over how long to stay. NBC News Chief Foreign Affairs Correspondent Andrea Mitchell has the story.
Mission accomplished. As the war drags on, the president telling the Pentagon to finish the battle, even though the military argues ISIS is still a threat, according to two U.S. officials. a contentious national security meeting after the president declared Tuesday,
"I want to get out. I want to bring our troops back home."
Even as his top commander for the region was saying it is too soon.
The hard part, I think, is in front of us, and that is stabilizing these areas, consolidating our gains.
Tonight, military advisors scrambling to prevent the president from ceding the battlefield to Russia and Iran, whose leaders were meeting on Syria today.
Nothing could be more attractive, certainly to the Iranian Revolutionary Guards, than to have the president of the United States saying, "We're on the verge of pulling out. You own the country."
Two U.S. officials tell NBC News the president reluctantly agreeing to keep troops in Syria, asking, "How much more time do you need? 6 months? A year?" The White House later saying, "The military mission to eradicate ISIS in Syria is coming to a rapid end, with ISIS being almost completely destroyed." Not true, say current and former officials. ISIS is not defeated, and another terror threat looms.
Al-Qaeda's global leadership has begun to shift from Afghanistan and Pakistan to Syria, taking advantage of the conflict, taking advantage of the chaos.
The president telling advisors Saudi Arabia will take over and is pledging $4 billion so U.S. troops can come home. Andrea Mitchell, NBC News, Washington.
Still ahead, nightmare bacteria, the new warning from the CDC over drug-resistant germs that kill up to half of those infected. We're back now with a growing health crisis. The CDC saying it is surprised by the prevalence of a so-called nightmare bacteria, drug-resistant bugs that can cause virtually untreatable infections. And as NBC's Kristen Dolgan reports, they're spreading nationwide.
One type of so-called nightmare bacteria found more than 200 times in hospitals in more than 27 states last year. A drug-resistant germ so dangerous, it kills up to half of those infected.
Not only can the bacteria itself spread to other patients, but the genes that allow it to be resistant can also be shared to other bacteria. This is the triple threat.
According to the CDC, 1 in 10 people screened for the superbug tested positive, many with no symptoms, but still able to spread the bacteria.
The big risk for these types of very resistant organisms tends to be in our hospitals and nursing homes.
The CDC says a SWAT team approach is working, 500 experts ready to mobilize, and labs in every state to quickly diagnose carriers and their contacts. Experts say insist those around you wash their hands if you're in a hospital. And if you are prescribed antibiotics, ask if you really need them. If so, make sure you take all of them. Tonight's new data, a dire wake-up call that nightmare bacteria could be closer than you think. Kristen Dahlgren, NBC News, New York.
New ratings on the safety of some of the most popular SUVs on the road. In front passenger side crash tests, the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety says the Chevy Equinox, GMC Terrain, Jeep Compass, BMW X1, and Mitsubishi Outlander all received good scores. The Mitsubishi Outlander Sport got a marginal rating. The Ford Escape received a poor rating because airbags didn't deploy during the crash. Both Ford and Mitsubishi stress that safety is a priority. Up next, final thoughts. Finally, tonight, as we mark the 50th anniversary of Dr. King's death here at Memphis, we wanted to take a moment to remember his life and his legacy.
We must go back with a deep sense of love and dedication to the principle of nonviolence.
Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was the father to a movement, persistent, tireless, as he tried to awake the consciousness of America to embrace equal rights on every level, sometimes in the face of racism. He turned what was mostly a black Southern movement into a national cry for change.
I have a dream.
As evidence in August 1963, when a 250,000 people gathered for the March on Washington.
We will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day.
Dr. King led the march from Selma, Alabama to Montgomery in 1965. Bringing media attention to voting injustices in the South.
And that we have touched the conscience of a large segment of our nation.
5 months later, President Lyndon Johnson signed the Voting Rights Act.
Spread the word!
King's granddaughter, shaped by his passion, his message still delivered by a new generation.
My grandfather had a dream
His four little children will not
be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today.
It was an emotional day here, but it was also in many ways an inspiring one. That is Nightly News for this Wednesday night. I'm Lester Holt. Thank you for watching, and good night from Memphis.